Oh, for goodness sakes, come off it!
Yes! Oh, I'm quite sad about all of this, really.
No,
but don't shed a tear. Instead, celebrate what once was, because here we are for the final edition of Nulpois!
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. That was Martin's somber tones you heard there.
And my swan song.
Oh, are you a swan?
No comment.
And I am, of course, Laura, and this is Nulpois. If you're just joining us for the first time, why, you're a little bit late, to be honest, because this is, as Martin mentioned, the last episode of our show. We are a Eurovision podcast. We've had so many amazing moments making this podcast, but as we've mentioned in a previous episode, we're taking this to the end now. We've really enjoyed the time we spent, haven't we, Martin? It's been fantastic.
Yeah, we absolutely have. Plenty to come of us reminiscing about the wonderful things.
You'll be sick of it.
You will be, basically. You'll be sick of us, and you'll be sick of it.
It's not that great. Why are they going on about it so much?
But I thought, because this has been, this whole time, about you, and we couldn't have done this podcast without hearing from you and having you as part of it. And so there's plenty of you throughout the podcast to say goodbye, and your messages have been coming through, and it's really lovely to say this, but thick and fast. Loads of people have been getting in touch, and thank you so much for all the well wishes. We'll do a few now, and then we'll do a few a bit later on. So here's Louise, who says, "We'll miss you very much. Good luck to you both for the future." Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Eurovision podcast, who you might remember were on this very podcast a little while ago.
Do check them out.
From Ireland, saying, "We're both wishing you the best for the future. We loved being on the pod this year."
Yeah, thank you for that, guys. And do definitely check out their podcast. It's a great podcast. PopTunes UK on Twitter say, "Really sorry to hear you're stopping making this superb podcast. It's been a real pleasure to listen to you over the years. Thank you. Good luck for the future." Thank you very much, PopTunes.
Luke has got in touch, and good old Luke, always there, a stalwart of the podcast. Thank you so much to you, Luke, for listening. "So sad you're calling it a day," says Luke, "but totally understandable. You often make me laugh and smile, so I will miss Nulpois podcasts."
I will add that Luke did also add a correction corner onto that email, but frankly, Luke, now is not the time.
No.
This is our last episode. We can make as many corrections, and the previous episode as well, as we want. So sorry, Luke, but that's not getting read out.
More of your correspondence a little bit later on, and we'll get back to talking about why we're going, some of our favourite bits, plenty to talk about to say goodbye in just a little bit. But it wouldn't be an episode of Nulpois without looking at some of today's big Eurovision news. And well, because it's sort of that's the start of a new Eurovision year, there isn't a great deal to talk about.
There isn't, but as we are true professionals, we still have found some things to talk about. And I think this is almost quite symbolic, really, because as we are ending our Eurovision journey, Martin, so is Tap Music ending their BBC Eurovision partnership.
And we lasted longer than them, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did longer than 2 years. So take that, Tap. No. They have said they're leaving working with BBC Eurovision and basically working with the UK entry for Eurovision. They have said they're very proud of Sam Ryder and Mae Muller, because those were the two acts that they fostered and brought to the stage for the UK. What do you think about it, Audrey? What do you think is going to happen now that it's not this record company that's fostering the UK entry?
Well, it's an opportunity for the UK to go back to the drawing board, isn't it? And to think, how is it best to select the entry for 2024? Tap Music said they're tapping out. So that's good, isn't it? That's great.
Boo! Boo!
Tap music are off, and that is an opportunity to maybe say, okay, the maybe it isn't the best system, you might think, because it's had one success and one failure.
They got one of the highest results for the UK in many years.
No, I'm not saying... this isn't me saying it is the worst system. I'm saying this is that you might think, you might have come to a conclusion that it is, right? For rightly or wrongly, you might have decided...
Who's you in this?
One, a person, the powers that be.
Random person on the street might think.
They might think that. No, the BBC might think, right? And so the BBC might go, okay, I'm going to try something different and I'm going to come up with a different idea. And maybe that is handing it back to the public. Maybe...
So you think the BBC's decided this?
No. But it's an opportunity for the BBC to decide what it wants to do in the future if it wants to change its tact.
Thanks for that thought, Martin.
That's a good thought.
Susie Lamb, which is a great name.
Who's Susie Lamb? What's she got to do with it?
Now, Susie Lamb, at the time, I'm a bit annoyed we didn't pick up on this, but at the time when Tap joined, Susie Lamb was very happy indeed. She's the managing director for BBC Studios.
Well, so long as Susie Lamb's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah. Susie Lamb, she was saying, BBC Studios proud to what's going to be producing the coverage of the biggest music competition in the world. We're excited to be collaborating with Tap Music. Talked about their expertise in managing world-class artists. Now, of course, after 2 years, Tap had dropped. Susie Lamb, what are you thinking about it now? We've heard no word from Lamb, but we'll see what she thinks, possibly. Does this mean, do you think, that the BBC are going to go back to previous years where they have a vote where the public decide who goes through?
Well, this is the whole thing that I was saying. Maybe it does. It means that they can decide whether to change it or not. That was the point I was making.
But do you
making.
Think they should do that?
Oh.
Would that be a good...
I'll say this. I don't know. But what I will say is if they do, I'll say I don't know,
this whole segment has been so pointless. We've just been like, well, they're doing this. And what does it mean? We don't really know.
Well, we don't need to worry about it anymore.
But no, we don't. We don't have to. Who cares?
But anyway, if they do it, and I don't know whether they will.
No, and we don't know if they will.
It's down to Susie Lamb.
There's no
Lamb.
Signal they will. They haven't said anything.
But if they
Susie Lamb hasn't said anything.
If they do, they should just do it well. That's my message.
Yes. And you know what? I agree.
Right. Well, with that news out the way, and well done it was too, it's time to leave. And we want to basically end the podcast by talking bye. See you later.
See you then. Bye.
By talking about why we got into it in the first place and some of our favourite bits, because we've been doing this since the 26th of October 2019.
Whoa.
And this is a good trip down memory lane here. Here we are on our first ever podcast.
My name is Laura, and I've got the lovely Martin here as well. Ahoy.
Yes. Hello. Ahoy to you. And this is a podcast all about the Eurovision Song Contest, because we are both Eurovision fans. We like it. We maybe don't know everything there is to know about it, but we're fans.
Yes. It's important to put that bit out there. We are not experts.
No.
We are fans.
We are
big fans, though.
Yeah, we're big fans because we've been to the Eurovision Song Contest five times now, have we been?
I think is it even more than that? So let's count, because this will be fun for listeners. I think, so we've been to Copenhagen, Vienna, Stockholm, Lisbon and Tel Aviv. So you're right, Martin, five.
So Rotterdam will be our sixth. And the most recent one, of course, Tel Aviv, that was 2019, that was this year.
You know what strikes me listening to that, just pre-COVID, us talking about going to
Rotterdam?
No idea what was going to hit us. Talking about going to Rotterdam in 2020, no clue what was going to happen to the world.
I know. It feels really weird, doesn't it, listening back to that when we thought, oh, soon we'll be going and we'll be able to be there in person and we'll be able to see all the fans. And we did get to do that eventually. but it took us quite a long time to get to that point. That'd been the whole point from the very beginning.
Yes, it wasn't the best time to start a Eurovision podcast in hindsight, but it worked.
It did work. Now, I've got a question for you, which I shall answer as well, but I want to put this to you. Why, Laura Kress, did you want to start a Eurovision podcast?
I think because I knew and this is my honest answer, I thought we'd be pretty good at it. Hmm. We both liked Eurovision enough to talk about it. We had done previous little things together, little projects. Obviously, I hope this isn't a big surprise to anybody, but we do both work in radio, so we have an idea of what works for this kind of medium. And I genuinely thought, there's something we can do here. And obviously it took us a bit of time to get to a place where we felt we were creating this sort of polished product. But from the beginning, I thought, you know what, I think we could do something here. And also just that it would be fun to explore the world a bit more and learn about it more. Because I think we both knew that we loved Eurovision, but we also knew that there were a lot of people who loved it more than us. And it would be interesting just to hear from them.
Yeah, and I think because what they say about when you're starting a podcast is, oh, you need to find your niche. Mm. And to be honest, I think we did originally start thinking that Eurovision was our niche, only to discover that it's a lot of people's niche.
Yeah.
And that makes, you know, and that was a bit of a kind of a, you know, it's one of the difficulties of making a podcast about the world's biggest TV show. But I think what we tried to do that was maybe different from what other Eurovision podcasts do, and this was our idea anyway, was to come at it as two people who don't know everything and who are learning about it, who don't have the encyclopedic back catalogue knowledge of every Eurovision that's ever been and who came in what place and how many points they got. We don't know that stuff. We are fans of the competition. We love it so much and we want to learn more about that world, and that was a big reason for starting it. Plus, on a kind of non-Eurovision side of things, we wanted to give podcasting a go, didn't we?
Everyone was
doing it, and we thought, well, we'd like a bit of this. It'd be good fun. And it was an evolution of our own Eurovision journey, wasn't it? We just started off watching it and having fun doing that, and then we one year said, oh, should we go? Should we go? And then we went, we had such a good time. We went back. And before we knew it, we were Eurovision super fans. And then we thought, well, let's make a podcast about it.
Yeah, we just kept going and going. It grew and grew, really, didn't it? And it is amazing how much it did grow. You know, there was a point when we were maybe getting about 10 people listening to an episode. And obviously, we realise we're not exactly at stratospheric heights now. But it has been lovely getting emails from people and getting messages from people who genuinely do love the show and listen, and just thinking, oh wow, people actually, someone does actually care about what we've got to say.
Yeah, I mean, misguided, that
God
is.
God knows why.
Misguided.
Very deluded.
But it is lovely to hear those messages, and more of those, by the way, coming a little bit later on. I thought we could reminisce as well about some of our favourite bits of the podcast, because doing this podcast has given us the opportunity to do stuff that we never thought we'd get to do, meet people we never thought we'd get to meet, go places we never thought we'd get to go. And I thought it'd be nice to kind of talk a little bit about that. Maybe should we start with the people that we actually got to meet and the people that we got to talk to? Some big names spring to mind. Very recently, we met Steve Rosenberg, who is he's the BBC's Russia editor.
And
he was a huge
lovely
Eurovision fan. And it was a real privilege to meet and chat with him. We chatted for ages, didn't we?
Way
more than what you actually hear on the podcast. So long. And he's a fascinating guy and a lovely man as well. That was amazing. Who else stands out for you?
Well, it's got to be Dardy, hasn't it?
Of course.
We met him backstage. That was pretty cool. Us going up those stairs and there he was. All 6'10" of him.
I know. The guy is absolutely massive. And he came in and we were there in his dressing room chatting away. And then we got to see his gig. And he's such a nice guy.
Yeah,
such
really
a nice
lovely
guy. And a Eurovision fan as well, which sounds obvious. But actually, you know, not necessarily everyone who is an artist going forward to Eurovision kind of is a massive Eurovision fan. Like some of them, it's just, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Well, like, what is it? this Eurovision thing? He was. He loves Eurovision. He watches it every year.
And I think it was nice speaking to some of the really interesting fans and in very experts, really. I mean, thinking of, for example, a long-time expert that we spoke to when we went to Turin and when we went to the UK, Maxi Rainbow, the fantastic, the queen of Eurovision, she calls herself.
Well, she does. And do you know what? It's a good point that you mentioned Maxi, and many, many people like Maxi who are the heart of Eurovision fandom. People who love this competition so much that they, and that they're kind of, they're dyed-in-the-wool Eurovision fans. They absolutely love it. And they're so enthusiastic about it. And they're so, for some people, they're quite eccentric about it. And I love that. Yeah. I think that's great. You don't get that anywhere else. And I think that's absolutely fascinating. And I've loved meeting fans like that. People who do have something a little bit different about them. Remember the guy in Sweden who every year makes the entire Eurovision final. He kind of recreates it,
Alexandro.
Shot for shot. This is Alexandro. You know what I'm going to say? He makes it out of Lego.
Yeah.
He does it every year. And meeting him and talking to him, and you think, well, the first question is, why do you do it? And the answer is always, because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great talking to Alexandro. Maxi Rainbow. Shout out to Sam Ross, of course. It was great to finally catch up with her in Turin as well. I suppose we should talk about speaking to Katrina from Katrina and the Waves.
Yes, we've spoken to a few actual Eurovision entries as well, haven't we? We spoke to the German Eurovision entry the other, a few months ago.
Lords of the Lost, yeah.
Lord of the Lost, and we. The list goes on of the people that we've been able to talk to. Well known, like Katrina of Katrina and the Waves. Not so well known, but people who have given us their time, given us their thoughts, and been really passionate about the competition that we all love.
And of course, speaking of which, I think we've got to give a big shout out to the OGAE UK and Alistair and Vaughan and all the people on there. Lots of the members of that who have come onto the show when we were talking about where it was going to be in the UK. Big shout out to them. That train up to Liverpool I got with all of them, that was fantastic. I really loved that. That was one of my fondest memories of Eurovision in the UK. And they've just been brilliant.
What do you think will be your abiding memory of doing this podcast? And it doesn't necessarily, it can be anything, right? It could be Eurovision related, you know, to something we actually did, or it could be anything you like. What are you going to most remember about Norpois?
I think it's got to be all the silly features we had on the show. Because we had quite a few, thinking about it. If you're a long-standing member, you might remember something called Trivia Time.
Yeah.
In fact, shall we do it one last time?
Yeah.
Shall we?
Okay, ready?
Shall we do the...
Trivia Time!
Trivia Time! That's what it was. It was just us shouting Trivia Time and giving trivia. That was our first silly feature we had, but we had a few others as well, didn't we?
Yeah, all of them, by the way, fueled by Aperol Spritz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this final episode, not sponsored by Aperol Spritz, but it should be because we basically, like you said, every time we had a spritz, another fantastic idea arrived.
It would. Correction Corner, of course, you might remember, which is just a stupid song we came up with once to sort of mark out where we made mistakes. Usually it was me in Correction Corner.
It was mainly Martin.
Flop That Euro Bop, which was great fun, wasn't it? Just singing stupidly Eurovision songs in a terrible, ridiculous
way.
Not
much thought put behind
that
one we came up with, by the way, after being nominated for an award, which is hilarious when you think about it. Being nominated for Best Entertainment for the British Podcast Awards, and then we came up with that.
Yeah, we have got a lot of explaining to do, really, don't we?
Yeah, sorry guys, thanks for sticking with us, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. What am I going to remember? I'm going to remember, and if I can just get a little bit you know, what's the word? A bit emotional for a moment. I'm going to miss, Chris, hanging out with you.
And talking
about Eurovision. Because we would record at all times of the day and night. Sometimes we'd be up at midnight recording. We'd be in all sorts of funny places. I think we once went to Leamington Spa.
We did, didn't we? Yeah. We had a little AGM. Listeners might not know this, but we have had annual meetings about the podcast where we would meet up. And I think when we met up together at that pub, it was just after we were able to meet up after COVID. So that was one of the first sort of proper in-person meetings we'd had for ages.
Yeah. And I remember that. And we always, you know, we'll come on a call to talk to each other for the podcast and we'll both be in the middle of something weird.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Like, Cress will be, I've just got back from an all-night rave and I'll be in the middle of this and I'm doing my ironing. And there's always something going on. And I think it's sort of been marking out little moments in our lives over the last 3 years. And that's been really nice. But I think the thing that, of course, both of us will take away is hearing from you and getting your thoughts and feeling part of that Eurovision nul point community, which is what we try to foster here on the podcast over the last little while. And to your messages now. And before we get to the people that have written to us to say they hopefully enjoy listening to the podcast, I mean, they might be saying they hate it, but we'll find out in just a moment. But before that, I wanted to bring in our good mate, Liz. Now, Liz has been a bit of an accidental star of Nul Point. We found her when we were looking for the opinions of an Australian. There must have been something to do with an Australian entry. We found Douze Point, which is a great podcast. It's based in Australia. And Liz is one of the hosts of Douze Point. And we talked to her. And Liz is the best person I've ever met. She's
bonkers.
She is. She's absolutely bonkers. And I love her dearly for it. So we couldn't let this episode of Nul Point, the very last one, go by without hearing from Liz herself. Go on, Liz.
Hello, it's Elizabeth from your sister podcast in Australia, the Douze Point podcast. I think I talk for everybody when I say that I was absolutely flabbergasted when I heard that Melvin and Chris were hanging up their gloves on the Nul Point podcast. Oh, thank you for all the years of, well, I was going to say joy, but it's not really joy, but, you know, the stuff that you do and the things that you've brought. We will always, you know, be happy to catch up with you, maybe in the pub or something. Gone, not forgotten. Seriously, guys, thank you for everything that you've done. Your voices, I find, strangely calming in a world of chaos. Definitely want to stay in touch. Can't wait to listen to all the adventures that you will be bringing to us soon. And don't you dare play this on the airwaves because I deny all of it.
Oh, well, there.
Oh, Liz, you didn't disappoint.
No. We got what we...
Thanks for that, Lauren.
We got what we paid for there. there we go. Good stuff.
Thanks, Lucy.
Cheers, Letitia. yes, thank you, Liz. You'll be much missed.
God bless her.
There we go. Loads of other people getting in touch as well. And it's lovely to hear from you. Thank you so much for everything you've had to say.
Yeah, we're nearly wrapping up now. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. We're not going to continue this love fest any longer. But we have to say thank you to the patrons who've supported us. No idea why you did, guys, but thank you so much. And here's a little reminder, cancel your Patreon.
Yeah, for goodness sake, cancel it.
There's really no reason anymore. Yeah. Please do. But thank you, guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. Bookmonger left us a message saying, loved your podcast, especially this year's Liverpool coverage. Best wishes to you both and thanks. We also had one from Emma as well. Sad news to hear you wrapping up. Understandable when balancing different commitments, but I'm going to miss you, crazy kids. Your banter is so easy to listen to and you managed to communicate the necessary Eurovision news in a concise and entertaining way. Hopefully you can keep the Spotify feed alive for a random podcast chat when peak Eurovision season rolls around each year.
We might get back to that in a second. Claire Owen Jones on Patreon says, I've tried listening to other Eurovision podcasts. This sounds like a great advert, doesn't it? I've tried listening to other Eurovision podcasts, but this is my favourite by such a long way. Claire, that is such a lovely thing to say. It's become my Eurovision best friend over the last few years, so I'll really miss it. Thank you for all the thousands of hours of work you've poured into it. It's been really appreciated, Claire. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Now, great one that I loved by email from Julie, who says, and this is a blast from the past. Julie's clearly a long-term listener, said, thank you both for an absolutely fantastic podcast. I've loved every episode. Do you remember Frosty Tips? And it's bueno, baby.
Bueno, baby.
It's bueno. Hey, it's bueno. Probably not. Anyway, you're both great.
Oh, no, we remember, don't we?
Julie, we did the podcast. If anyone's going to remember, it's us. But thank you for remembering.
And let me take you to Instagram. Matthew says, have been on holiday and just catching up with the podcast. Gutted to hear you're finishing. I understand how time consuming it all is, though. Yes, it does take quite a long time, Matthew, but thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us.
Now, I'll end our correspondence with this lovely message we received from Alex on Insta. It's a fairly lengthy one, so I'm not going to go through all of it, but I'll just take you through a little bit what he said. He said, I've only been following your podcast for a short while, and I just want you to know how important you are to the Eurovision community. It may seem like you're just some Eurovision fans talking about something you love, but you do bring some honestly thought-provoking talking points to the table, all wrapped up in a charismatic package. You've lived.
Sorry. Thank you, Alex.
You've lived the Eurovision spirit, and I wish you both well as you move on to the next chapter in your lives. May you never receive no pois.
Ah, that's so nice, Alex. Thank you so much. And thank you, wherever you are and whoever you are, if you've taken the time to drop us a line. We've read every single one, and it's so nice to hear from you. And even if you haven't, if you've just been listening, thank you. Thank you for doing that. It means so, so much. We would have loved to have carried this on, but for reasons that we explained in the last episode, we've decided, and it has been a difficult decision,
but we've decided
not to. I just thought we could very quickly talk about what the future is going to hold for us. Never say never, right? Because we might feel like we want to jump back on this feed, around May sort of time,
exactly,
maybe.
Yeah.
There could be something coming your way. Certainly nowhere, not a regular thing, but we might do a little something in the future. Who knows? But we're still good mates.
Yeah,
we're still going to be hanging out and seeing each other.
We'll still be hanging out. You won't be able to hear us anymore, but we'll just be talking to each other.
Yeah, we'll be talking not on a podcast.
We have loved doing this. You never know, in the future there might be some other kind of venture, and you guys will be the first to hear from it. I will say that the Nullpois Twitter feed @PoisNull. Why did we never just call it Nullpois Pod or something like that? Why did we?
I stay clear of all that.
Yeah, I know you do. We will still be on. We'll still be on Twitter. But I say we. It'll be me. Let's just be honest. Tweeting about some, Eurovision bits and bobs that come out. Obviously, the podcast isn't going to continue. The social media feeds will still be there. I'll still be there as Cress Up Martin. You've got all your socials as well. I don't know if you want to share that.
I've got Twitter or X or whatever it's called.
Yeah, he's got
Martin, spelled with a Y. Martin, yes. MNW is where I am on Twitter.
So there you go.
Sometimes I tweet. Not often.
Not that
but
much.
Sometimes.
So you can still catch up with us on that. And as Marta says, who knows? This is goodbye, but it's not for farewell.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. And maybe we'll see you again on the next, whenever it comes.
No. No.